Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, I'm Ed Byrne, and as my kids get older and the march of time pushes me ever closer to the inevitability of retirement, I've decided I'm in the market for a new hobby. But I seek guidance, so every week I'll be meeting up with one of my celebrity chums, trying out their favourite pastime and then interrogating them about it to see if it's for me. And just to make sure I fully divorce myself from the decision-making process, I will also be starting and finishing every episode with a chat with my wife Claire, in order to fully examine whether or not said hobby is a good fit. This is Ed Byrne Needs a Hobby. Episode 1, I'm going to go and talk to your friend and mine, Lucy Porter.
Oh, that's nice. What are you going to do?
She gave me a choice. I could have gone for hot yoga, but no, she's a keen quizzer.
Oh.
So quizzing is the hobby. I'm going to accompany her to her local quiz night.
Is she in a pub?
It's in a tennis club near where she lives. She's only been once, and they won. So I think she's actually slightly trepidatious that she might win again this month. There'll be chat. There'll be talk.
Oh, she's back again. Won again, has she?
So that's what we're going to do. And then I'm just going to chat to her about quizzing. But quizzing's already a thing I enjoy.
I don't think of quizzing as a... It's not a hobby. It's not something that people do. It's not... Well, I was going to say, it's not something that you learn. I suppose you're bettering yourself because you're learning all the time. But it's not a... It's an excuse to go to the pub and meet your mates, isn't it?
There's
quizzing.
People now are famous for quizzing. It's Everybody on the quiz. Chase. The eggheads. They're all professional quizzers.
Well, that's... I think that's a bit ridiculous. If I'm honest, I'm not taking away from their braininess. I think they're clever people, and that's absolutely to be commended. Well done them. I just don't think it counts as a valid choice. It's like calling darts a sport, quizzing a hobby.
You think of darts as a game rather than
a
sport. They're not athletes.
Yeah. It's not a sport, is it?
I mean, quizzing, there's a whole world of quizzing that you and I don't know about. There's championships going on all the time but that are taken very seriously. That go beyond the you know, drinking in pubs sort of level.
We're talking entry-level quizzing, aren't we, at the moment? This is a pub quiz, table quiz.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lovely thing to do. You get to meet your mates, you have a pint, you're brainy, you're a pedant, so quizzing is perfect. Mm. I think you'll slot into the quizzing community easily, but whether it counts as a hobby, in my head, is questionable.
Here's what I think, in my head, is the difference between a hobby and not a hobby for Lucy.
Okay.
Her husband is away working. Lucy is having to get a babysitter in order to be able to go to the pub quiz. And I think that is the difference. If you were away and there was a pub quiz on, I would be like, well, oh, no, I'd have to get a babysitter, so I'm not going to bother. That's where but when you go, oh, I need to get a babysitter, I'm still going to go. That's, I feel, when it crosses over into
proper hobby. That's when you're a quizzer as opposed to casual.
No.
Okay, then my idea of what qualifies as a hobby is...
I think it's invalid. But...
Very sorry, dear.
Anyway, but that's fine, isn't it? Let's assuming that it is a valid hobby.
Are you happy for me to take it up as a more regular hobby then?
Absolutely.
For you to say to people, oh no, I'll be there, Ed won't be, he'll be doing his quizzing
He's
that night.
He's doing his hobby that night. No, that's ridiculous, I would lie.
Question number five. Who played park owner John Hammond in Jurassic Park? So who played park owner John Hammond in Jurassic Park? Okay, question number six. Who played Alf Garnett in Till Death Us Do Part? So who played Alf Garnett in Till Death Us Do Part?
It was John. You can't say that anymore.
Okay, question number seven. With which Beatle did David Bowie co-write the song Fame? So with which Beatle did David Bowie co-write the song Fame?
About who he also then wrote the song John and Only Dancing.
Oh.
Supplementary knowledge.
And question number eight. Who directed Schindler's List, bringing him his first Best Director's Oscar?
Oh, I don't think anyone gets it, but I would say me. It would be very churlish of them to mark a set down from
well,
bad spelling.
Well, that's kind of thing I'd be
circling.
Oh, God, do you? Huh? You've got, I've just
We're just thinking about the spelling, exactly, the exact spelling.
Let's write it down tonight, see which one looks better.
Question number nine. Who became the first female presenter of Question Time in 2019? So who became the first female presenter of Question Time in 2019?
No, no. So Lucy, we have just returned to your house from your local quiz night, your regular quiz night.
We haven't just returned, Ed. We've returned
triumphantly.
Absolutely covered in glory, dripping in it.
Yeah.
Embarrassingly, almost, because it's my second consecutive victory.
So and how many times have you been?
Twice.
Yeah.
Questions will be raised at the committee meeting. This is my new pub quiz, because I moved house and...
Where was your previous one then, so, roughly?
Well, there's a few in the area. So the Cases Altered do a very good pub quiz on a Tuesday. And the Queen's Head in Pinner on a Monday.
Right.
But I'm a bit of a pub quiz tart. I'll go anywhere that there's cash to be won and questions to be answered.
The thing that came down to the wire for us on this one, which was quite embarrassing, was because they give you... an extra point for every team member less than eight. Mm. It was, but because we had six people on our team, they gave us two bonus points.
Yes.
And then halfway through the quiz, my producer, Laura, showed up just to record some atmosphere. Yes. And then in the end, we won, but it was a tie-break situation because we actually came, we were level pegging. Yes. With the, so questions will be asked, won't they? I'm very worried that people are going to be like, that we looked like the people... who send their kids to private school, you know, so we got the point early on for only having six people. And then you send your kid to a state school just for the final year to get the the waiting.
I'm absolutely sure that that will be exactly what they're discussing. And I mean, I've got to say, I'm looking at Laura now, and as lovely as she is, she was absolutely no bloody...
She didn't... she was told not to. She was, we made... She even... It was just the cursory... amount that she pushed her chair back from the table to just show distance. I am a neutral observer, So that's what that distance from the table showed.
My name is going to be mud in the local area. I think you could at least have given us an answer, Laura. I mean, you know, you've let us all down. You've let yourself down. And you've let me down, quite frankly. But no, I think, to be honest, I think we did, because the tiebreaker was...
What are the bar takings for tonight? Right, guys, the actual answer was £720,025. So Team K with 777, they're the closest. So Team K, well done. And so...
We decisively and definitively won that, so I don't think that they can really argue too much. But anyway, do you know what? Easy come, easy go. I've made £100 out of that pub quiz. That's more than I've made out of.
Have you ever been in a situation in a pub quiz where there's been controversy, where things have kicked off, where people have taken it very seriously and somebody's been accused of cheating or that sort of thing? What's the worst sort of...
There was one I did in Belsize Park with a fancy friend of mine, and that actually ended in fisticuffs and the police were called, and that was the best. Because you got all of the things I love. It was really nice food, a really good quiz, and then a fight at the end to round the night off. I mean, nothing... And I think I probably got a kebab on the way home as well, so I mean, really, nothing could have been better.
And what do you remember what the actual fight was about? Do you remember what...
Somebody,
or was it people on their phones?
Yeah, somebody openly had a laptop. They were bound to rights, and I thought they deserved the posting that they got.
Tonight, it was money was you know, a prize, and it came down to a tiebreaker question for first, second, third, fourth. My local quiz, they did it once, and it was cash money for first, second, and third. We came joint second, right? So what you should do is obviously split the money for second and third prize.
Between us. Second place team, yeah.
They split the money for second prize between us and the other one. And the people who actually came fourth were considered to have come third, and they got third prize. So they, who came third, got more money than we did. And I was more outraged by that.
Yeah.
The money wasn't the point. But it was just like, how can you get something like this so fundamentally wrong?
Well, it doesn't make you want to go back to all the questions and go, if this is how poor you are at working things out, then can we just fact check every single question that you set? Because that is a fundamental error. I mean, maths is not their strong suit, clearly.
Have you ever had a moment of that where you've wanted a steward's inquiry, but you've not kicked off because you thought it's just not important enough?
Yeah, you don't want to look like a dick. Yeah, well, I mean, I have been at a quiz where it was, you went up and chose what you wanted. So it was, you know, it was classic. I think there was a meat tray and there was sort of various other prizes, bottles of wine and things. And they didn't regulate the fact that if you came first, you got first go. So they just said, oh, the winning team, you know, top three teams come up. And of course, some cow from team number three was straight up grabbing that meat plate. She's seen it. So that the price is right. She's like, right, that. The cash value of that is going to be greater than, so I come away with a bottle of, you know, Paul Mateus Rosé or something.
Yeah.
So that was quite annoying. Always, when you start a new pub quiz, you don't know what the level is going to be. And I remember when I moved to Brixton in the early 2000s, and me and my flatmates went and did the local pub quiz. And we came first by such a huge margin.
Mm-hmm.
We did leave the pub to silence and terror. And we were looking over our shoulders. I mean, and the prize was only like a round of drinks, but we had come in and completely humiliated the team that always came first.
Ah.
And as much as I sound like the most smug arsehole for saying that, like, you know, it wasn't, I took no pleasure in it at all.
What are you going to do? No one shows up to lose.
No, you can't. You can't. And it would be a betrayal of all that is true to quiz. Because, you know, I do a podcast called Fingers on Buzzers. Let's give it a plug with my...
I mean, I was going to come to that, I should let you.
I'll come back to it. So Jenny Ryan, the vixen from The Chase, she gets so much grief from people. She gets people saying, oh, well, it's a celebrity special, it's for charity. Well, you know, surely you could have just been a bit kind. And it's like, no, you cannot do... The whole point of quizzing is you play to the best of your abilities no matter what. Even, like, I quiz against my kids. I'm not letting them win.
No.
I'm not giving them any hope or, sense of joy. It's... Quizzing is about winning. It's not about the fun of taking part.
But especially because that celebrity version of The Chase, I presume, have you done it? Have you been it?
Twice, yeah. So one with Christian Guru Murphy, Jay Rayner and Steve Davis.
Were you all four of you on? Were all four of you in the final chase?
I think we all took the higher offer.
Oh, wow.
So we all went Death or Glory. So that was a good, so that was for the Edinburgh Sick Kids Hospital where, because my son had broken his leg at the Edinburgh Festival, I was so grateful. I was like, I'm gonna try and do something for you guys, and then I went on The Chase and won, a significant sum of money, so I felt like that's good. I've paid for my son's broken leg there.
The Edinburgh Hospital for Sick Children, which Adam Hills, who I'm also going to be talking to for this podcast, had a very funny thing about. About, is there an Edinburgh Hospital for children who aren't sick? Do you also have a graveyard for dead people? I've done it twice. Mm. Won it once, lost it once.
Same. We lost it on Christmas Day. I did the Christmas special. We lost quite a. We had quite a lot of money in the pot, and we lost it. But they still did the big glitter drop.
Oh dear! Oh, that's awful.
Feeling completely bereft under a cloud of glitter.
The first time I did it, I took back what was at the time the most amount of money ever taken back to the behind the desk, whatever you call it. But it was just me and Eric Bristow in the final chase, and God love him, he's not a quizzer.
No.
I mean, I couldn't take him at darts, but and I remember. No, but I remember he buzzed in on a golf question and then stood there for quite some time not knowing the answer, to the point where literally, if you watch it, I'm standing next to him going, say pass, say pass. So that was...
The same with Arj from Towie boxing, where his whole thing was how much he loves boxing and oh, I'm a massive boxing fan, and then a question came up about boxing. Nothing happened.
Well, there. On that first episode as well, the reason it was only me and Eric Bristow, I can't even remember who was in seat one that didn't make it through. But seat three, it didn't make, Nadine Dorries. Nadine Dorries, and she wanted to take the low offer, and the audience booed her, so she took the middle offer and got caught, because she's not clever. So she proved herself to be both a weather vane and not good at quizzing. But that show is stacked. They don't cheat, but it is stacked in your favour because they ask you what your interests are. They ask you what your favourite TV show is. They ask you things like that. It was somebody on Twitter even spotted it. They asked a question and it was about a song, and it was a song that I danced to when I was on Celebrity Let's Dance for Comic Relief. There was things like that. They do make it easy. So obviously, yes, The Chasers... they've got to then try their best when it's been stacked against them.
Celebrity show, people get really upset that the questions are easier, but then it is so embarrassing for some people. I think now there's enough kind of smart alecky comedians who want to do these things, but I think when they first started doing them, like a lot of people think, oh gosh, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't want to humiliate myself, because I think if you are a politician or a newsreader.
Mm.
And you get something really badly wrong. Like I've done, I think it was 15 to 1 with Diane Abbott, and she got some quite
easy questions.
Things.
Right.
So, and I think that could be, and David Lammy, of course, had an absolute shocker on, what was it? Was it Mastermind he was on? But he had a terrible time. And I think for a politician, and it's
that
it's
sticks.
A reflection, because actually, as much as we want to think Nadine Dorries is thick and we enjoy that, it doesn't really matter if you don't know about trivia, because you should be, your mind should be on the weightier matters, but it does look really bad.
Yes.
If you're a politician and you don't know, that Margaret Thatcher was the long-term prime minister of the 20th century or whatever.
Well, let's drill into your celebrity quizzing career then, just because obviously you love a pub quiz, but I want people who were at that quiz we were just at now to realize the extent to which you were slumming it tonight. what have you done the celebrity version of on TV? So you've done Mastermind, I know that.
I've done Mastermind.
What was your special subject on Mastermind?
I did Steve Martin.
Okay.
Life and Works of.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second time, Champion of Champions. I mean, I don't like to...
Because you obviously won when you did the Steve Martin one. Okay.
Champion of Champions. That was Victoria Wood, which was a delight and a joy. And what I love about Mastermind is that it gives you the chance to immerse yourself in something for the week before.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you're someone who watches a lot of quizzes or sets a lot of quizzes, you kind of almost know what's going to come up. Because you know that they want play-along ability at home.
Mm-hmm.
And also it's a celebrity version, so they're not going to make it that hard. So I guessed pretty well with Victoria Wood particularly about four of the questions that I thought they're definitely going to ask.
Going to ask this, yeah.
Okay, like Julie Walters, it's like they want to...
Something about Acorn Antiques.
So that was one of my absolute favourites. And also there's something about... Like when you're on with mates as well. So I was on with Zoe Lyons and Miles Jupp and Neil Hannon from the Divine Comedy, who I didn't mm-hmm. see before, but I now consider a close personal.
Does he have a hobby? And have you got his number?
It's always fun when you're playing with mates and then when you beat them, because you have a laugh and mm-hmm. you ultimately feel like you're cleverer than your friends. And also because Miles Jupp had won the trophy on House of Games and I failed to win a trophy on House of Games.
Ah.
I'm very... upset about.
So you've done House of Games and didn't win a trophy?
No, I won 3 days, but Neil Denomere.
Oh, yeah.
One of my quizzing nemeses.
Right.
He's brilliant. It was me, Neil Denomere, Mark Billingham, and AJ Adudu. And AJ Adudu is just gorgeous and lovely, but had no interest in the quiz whatsoever. She was just there for a laugh. And then me, Mark Billingham, and Neil Denomere were absolutely desperate to win, all of us. So. It was very close between the three of us, and Neil, he only won 2 days. But he
won the double, he won the one where you get, yes.
He won the double point Friday, yeah.
See, I did House of Games. Here's what galls me. I did House of Games. I won 4 episodes. Ingrid Oliver won 1 episode.
Yes.
Obviously, she's now married to the host.
You didn't get to marry
I don't, it's, it was, there is a certain element of that. Yeah. But then I tune into an episode of Champion of Champions, House of Games, and she's on it!
Oh, mate. I mean, yeah, you've been robbed.
To be fair, they did ask, but it was very... They did ask me, but it was very last minute. I guess Richard maybe knew she was free.
He could make sure. He could cancel whatever plans they had, yeah.
Okay, so House of Games, a fail. A rare fail.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I know you've done The Weakest Link, because I was on The Weakest Link with you and I came third. And fair enough, you and Rob Deering did vote me out because I was the only one of us who got a question wrong in that penultimate round. He did. Didn't get a single question wrong the entire game.
No, he's amazing.
He is quite the quizzer.
I mean, I would say if I was going to compile a pub quiz team from the comedians, mm-hmm. you'd be on it. Deering, Neil Delamere, Angela Barnes.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, Angela Barnes, the only person to win 5 episodes of House of Games.
I think someone else has done it now.
All right, okay.
But yeah, she was great.
But she's legend because she did it, and she, even as much as she tried not to win the fifth one, apparently the people she was with just could not win.
You see, why should you not? Because she got a load of slagging on social media from people saying, oh, it's just, well, it's no fun because she just keeps winning. And it's like, well, but you can't dumb down and you can't let other people win if you know the answer. I mean, I'm 100% on her side on that. I just think, you know, yeah, you've got to try your best. And especially, I think, being a woman, she probably got a little bit more flat for it than
right. a fella would have done. What else then? So, 15 to 1, did you ever do that one?
I did do 15 to 1, didn't do great on that. I think maybe that was where Diane Abbott was on it, and Frank Carson. Because also the other thing.
Oh, we were on the same episode, yeah.
I was on with Frank Carson, yeah. Chris Ramsey was on.
Oh, no, no, it was Weakest Link I was on when Frank Carson was on. No, not Weak.
It was that one. Oh, God.
Yeah, no, it was. It was. It was Frank Carson was on Weakest Link. And I remember because his face was all swollen. He'd had dental surgery that day. But he showed up and he was exactly what you'd hope. He just kept cracking jokes. There's all us modern comedians are just standing around trying to be quirky. And he just came out, boom, 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 joke, joke, joke. And we're like, this man's amazing. He's a machine.
I know. It's a good lesson, isn't it, when you meet people like that. And then, yeah, Phil Nichol got naked on The Weakest Link and Anne Robinson looked as unimpressed as you I'm trying to think if there's any other. I'd really like to do Catchphrase and Tipping Point, but ITV alludes me because you've got to be a next level of famous.
Or you don't. I've done Tipping Point. Yeah, I haven't done Catchphrase because you're right. You do need to be next level for that one. Yeah. But no, I've done Tipping Point. I did all right on the questions, but my counters just did not land where I wanted them to land.
She's a cruel machine.
Yeah. Pointless, I presume.
Oh, God, 3 times.
And how many trophies have you got?
I have got...
Because I know you and I did it once.
We lost. And then I did it with Rob Deering and we lost.
No way!
Round with Rob Deering, yeah.
Okay, I must know more details. How did you and Quiz Supremo Rob Deering go out on the first round?
Goodness, I've gone first. So it was words ending in GLE. And I had said finagle.
Good word.
Which I thought was a good word. And then Rachel Johnson copied me, basically, and said inveigle. And I was like, I think finagle is better than inveigle. But actually, her scored lower. So slightly on the back foot. And then Charlotte from Geordie Shore, who was not confident, said muggle.
Wow.
And that scored pretty low as well, because I think a lot of people went, oh, no, it's not
a, not a real word, yeah.
J.K. Rowling, but it is a real Victorian word. Anyway, so then by the time it came round to Rob, the pressure was on, and he said bugle, which I thought was a great answer. It's got that unusual, but actually it scored fairly highly. And things like pentangle scored lower. So I think, I can't remember who else was on with us, but anyway, they went flying through and we crashed out.
That's very disappointing. I bet, did he beat himself up?
Oh, God, it was awful. It was like watching, a man having a breakdown. I'm sure he's never recovered properly. He's still a haunted man.
Because when we were on, we got to the head-to-head against John McCrurick and his wife. And I remember distinctly where we went out. It was Top of the Pops Dance Troops.
Yeah.
And you even said to me, what are they called? Legs 11? And I went, no, Legs and Co. But let's not say that. Let's say Hot Gossip. Hot Gossip, not a Top of the Pops dance troupe.
They were just an ITV. They did like the Kenny Everett
show. They were on the Kenny Everett show. Yeah.
We can all be wise in hindsight, can't we? But me and Dave Johns did it. And the pivotal moment there, because we were, I can't remember who we were head-to-head with, but it was people called Ball. And there was obviously Zoe Ball and Alan Ball, is that the football manager? Or anyway, Dave, being of a certain vintage, recognised Kenny Ball of Kenny Ball and his Jasmine.
Nice.
TV about the same time as I was. And so that got us through, and we won the trophy and we won the jackpot. And
I've also done it again recently. Can't say. Yes. But I did get my average up. Put it this way, I can now make earrings out of trophies. So... has there been a moment when you've been quizzing on TV where you've said something, where you've embarrassed yourself, where you've gone, I just wish I could take that one back?
Oh, God, yeah. I do very badly on sport. And I think, I've said some really dumb answers to sporting questions. Like, been asked a question about, like, it's which American football team, and I've said something Canadian or, just because the problem is, I think, with quizzing, if you think you can't answer it, you can trip yourself up in your head and you don't do thinking about the different parts of the question. So, if it's like name an American football team who won the blah, 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 it's worth thinking about every part of the question. Whereas I just go, I don't know anything about that. And then I'll be like, oh, the Toronto Bulls, and then you look like an absolute idiot. Whereas at least if you've said something that's in the ballpark. Oh, and also numbery ones. So I have no sense of length or height or anything. So
estimating things, distances. As I realised tonight, when things came up, like, what's the length of a javelin in the Olympics? And we were like, is it even taller than a man? Is it?
Yeah, no, and I did one which was about, it was some space-related thing. And I was like, oh, I think space is closer than you think. I think it's about, like, 20 metres.
Do you find when you're doing pub quizzes, getting away from the bright lights of showbiz and quizzing on TV, that there's certain subjects that come up a lot in pub quizzes,
yeah,
where you've gone, I don't care about this thing, but I need to start reading up on it because it always seems to come up in pub quizzes.
Yeah, like champagne bottle sizes and that sort
right,
of
that would be one.
Colours in heraldry, I have no interest in it, but I sort of now...
Would now you know a few.
A little bit of, sable.
Because that's also big in crossword clues, isn't it,
yeah,
heraldry?
Yes.
My mother's bête noire is Harry Potter. She has no, and I with her, I have no interest in Harry Potter. And my kids now are getting into Harry Potter, so I absorb some of that just through osmosis. Mm-hmm. But every quiz you go to, apart from tonight,
yes,
there's always a Harry Potter question,
yeah,
and that's my mum says it used to be Star Wars, and I was fine with Star Wars, but now it's Harry Potter, and I don't give a shit.
Yeah, this is one of the things that I love about quizzing is that it does keep your finger on the pulse a little bit. Because, like, I listen to Potmaster every single morning.
Do you use the gate method of keeping score?
Oh, yeah. No, I have my little score sheet every
Do a tick and then multiply everything by three at the end?
No, I write my scores
down. Oh, you write your score as you're doing it, okay.
But I've never got higher than the... I think I've got a 33 once, but no. I mean, I've never got a 39.
I've never got a 39.
I've always said to Justin, you know, people have a list of people they're allowed to sleep with. Mine is just anyone who's got 39 on Potmaster or Cambridge. That's it.
On the quizzing front, you also put together quizzes? You'll host a pub quiz as well?
Yes, and I do, like, for the school PTA.
Yeah. See, that's a great one. People say, will you do us a gig to raise money? And you're like, no, because I don't want to do stand-up comedy to the audience that you want me to. I'll do you a pub quiz, though. So let me ask you, when you're putting together a pub quiz, because I think this is a curious... I've learned the error of my ways on this. I've always felt that when you set a pub quiz, there should never be a question every single person knows the answer to. Because what's the point? And I have found out that there must always be... The rate of questions that people get, people have got to be able to answer at least half the questions in every round, or they get demoralised.
100%, yeah. I mean, yeah. What was quite good as well about the one that we went to tonight is that it started off quite easy and then the rounds got harder, and that is, again, absolutely the way to do it. Because if your first round, and again, I've made this mistake, your first round is all things that you go, oh, this is an interesting question that I didn't know the answer to, then nobody else will know the answer and they will hate you for it. So, yeah, so definitely, you want to be, I would say, aiming for most teams to get sort of 7 or 8 out of 10 on the first round.
I realise that now.
Yeah.
When I first started, I thought, what's the point? It's a wasted question. Yeah. If everybody knows the answer, may as well not have asked it. But it's hugely demoralising.
Oh, you know, too hard, too who cares-ish as well. There's another one where you need to give people some way of working out the answer even if they don't know it, so little clues within the question. They need to be kind of relevant to the audience as well, so, you know, play to your demographic, which again I thought they did very well tonight because the music rounds were all
of a vintage. We went to a quiz that my parents go to when they go on holiday in Coralecco in the Canaries. There's Rosie O'Grady's is an Irish bar there. And they go to a quiz there, which they often win. And we all went with them one time for their anniversary. We all went on holiday to this to Coralecco, and we all went to the quiz. And the rule that the guy has is, don't care what the real answer is. What I say is the real answer is what goes. Because every now and again, he'll just get them wrong. And he just have to. And he's a nice guy. I make them sound. But that's it. And there was one question. He said, what do you call what do you call the gases that cause the hole in the ozone layer?
Okay, so CFCs.
CFCs.
Would be
chlorofluorocarbons. That is the answer. And then he said, greenhouse gases. And we're sitting there going, no, no, they're the ones that cause global warming. CFCs are the ones that cause, well, that was it. And people went, so then we spent the rest of the quiz going, right, what does he think the answer to this question is? Not what's the answer? What do we reckon he'll go for? Who do we reckon he thinks played the saxophone solo in Baker Street? What do you think about the fact that quizzers have become celebrities in their own right? Because that's a new thing.
Yeah.
The whole idea of it. We're all aware that there are quiz competitions and that there are, you know, there are tournaments and stuff like that. But obviously there was Eggheads. And now The Chase, and now Beat the Chasers. The idea of quizzers becoming celebrities, do you feel you're not quite of that quizzing level?
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, I'm definitely not. And also, they do work really hard. And when you see the effort they put in behind the scenes, it isn't just, oh, they're quite good at trivia. They do have to give a damn about stuff that they really don't give a damn about all the time. So you have to, like, imagine bands you really hate.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know all the words to their songs, and you have to, terrible TV shows that you don't want to watch. So, you know, definitely I would not have either the skill nor the dedication to do it. But I think it is great. I think that, to me, quizzing as a hobby was so helpful to me as a kid, because I was not brilliant at school. I was sort of fair to middling at school, and the kind of brain that I have is I'm good at remembering facts and retrieving them very quickly. So I've got a good memory and quite a fast brain.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if I had had role models like Jenny or like Mark Labette and, you know, Anne Hegarty, who's autistic, and, you know, you just think there is a lot of people in quizzing are, you know, not neurotypical or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I think it's amazing that kids can be growing up now and going, oh, do you know what, actually maybe, you know, I don't have to be
a sportsman
this is a way I can excel. So
and were you, for want of a better word, did you ever get picked on, let's say, for being a bit nerdy, spotty?
Yeah, I mean, I was in a school top of the form competition when I was about 11, and we won digital watches from those fans who were the sponsors. And I mean, we did get a fair amount of ribbing, but I think that the joy of victory has always been, I mean, even, you know, being on telly, because in the olden days, when I first started doing them, you used to get terrible slaggings on social media for, like, the way you look or what you're wearing. And I was like, don't care.
Mm.
I'm on the quiz, mate.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Do you feel a vindication? Do you look back on times where people wrote you off or slagged you off for being a bit spotty and a bit nerdy, that every time you win a quiz, tonight, 60 quid, all right, it was between six of us.
And it will probably be taken back
because Laura was there, there'll be a steward's inquiry. But no, but do you feel like you want to phone up 13-year-old you and go, you stuck with the quizzing your whole life and it really paid off?
Yes, one day you will be able to afford half a drink in a London pub because of your love of quizzing. Well, also, my dad was really into quizzing, so I think it was partly, like, I wanted to make him proud. So I like to think that every time I win a quiz, he's somewhere in the ether celebrating with me.
Oh, sweet. Well, look, the idea is that I'm casting around for a hobby here for myself.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm already pretty sold on quizzing, I have to admit.
It does feel like you're as into it as I am already.
Yeah,
but
so...
For the benefit of the listener, I suppose...
Pitch quizzing as a hobby.
Okay, the beauty about quizzing is that it means that every day you go through your life and you think, oh, that might come up in a quiz, and you're just constantly picking up little bits of information and retaining them. It also is a hobby that brings you together with like-minded people, so you can do it in a team, and eventually you can get to go on telly and do it on your own. I mean, if you get really good at it, it gives you a little endorphin rush of satisfaction when you get something right, and then you beat yourself up when you get something wrong, but it inspires you to become a better person and a more knowledgeable person. And most of all, you largely do it sitting down in a pub with access to crisps. How many hobbies can you say that about, guys?
Do you hear that, kids? Put down the crack pipe, pick up an almanac.
It's cool to be a quizzer, guys.
So how was your night doing your new hobby?
Well, we won.
Of course you won. Who else was on the team?
We won another four friends of Lucy's. Right. Two women who were nurses, a bloke who knew a fair bit about sport, and another woman who, to be fair, was quite quiet.
You've got all bases covered.
There was
then,
a good balance.
You? Yeah.
There was a good balance. But it was nice because it was every single answer mattered.
Yes.
The park owner, John Hammond, was played by Richard Attenborough. Number six, Alf Garnett, was played by Warren Mitchell. Number seven, John Lennon co-wrote Fame with David Bowie. Number eight, Steven Spielberg directed Schindler's List. Number nine, the first female presenter of Question Time was Fiona Bruce.
Does it now make Lucy feel even worse about going back for a third time? She won't want to go a third time, will she? She's won the first time. She won the second time, but she might not want to go to it again. She might be finding a new one.
I think if anybody's going to be talking about anything, they'll be talking about the fact that I tried to go the wrong way into the car park and...
In the tennis club
and ended up driving right in front of the club in a way that was along what's supposed to be just a footpath. And everybody could see me then trying to turn my car back around again and mounting steps. And it was,
are you serious?
It was an absolute shit show.
Why did you do that?
That'll be what people will be talking about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Poor Lucy. She'll never be able to go back to this place again.
The only thing it did occur to me about quizzing.
Yeah.
Is that you're obviously your ideal team is one where different people have different strengths.
Yeah.
So you're going out for a night with people who have different interests to you. When you think about it from a socialising point of view, it's probably a terrible idea.
Well, it might be quite a nice idea for a husband and wife to do, who have completely different interests. She could bring her mate and he could bring his mate and they might have things in common.
It's also a great way to start an argument, though.
It is, yeah.
It is an argument waiting to happen to a great extent.
Well, and also, there's always one person on a quiz team who feels that they can't really say anything because there's somebody else that takes over, not looking at anybody in particular, that gets a bit bossy, because generally, probably, they're the cleverest, so they probably think they know, and then they always get one question wrong that the quiet person said, no, it's this, but they bowed down to the greater brain.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do that. It's always like that episode of The Apprentice. There's always that moment in The Apprentice where it's like, yeah, but you said to do this. Well, if you thought I was wrong, you should have told me.
Yeah.
You can't blame me for not telling you you were wrong. Exactly. You were wrong.
And also, the really good quizzer. People just assume that they're right all the time, don't they? And then other people start doubting them. This is a terrible hobby. You can't take it off.
No, it was really nice. And it felt like we were a team because there was different rounds and there was different things where we knew stuff. And you're like, oh, glad you were here. Like I can identify moments all night where if that person hadn't been there, we wouldn't have won.
Okay.
Because it came down to literally, it was a tie break in the end.
So it's a good hobby to do. If you've got a very diverse group of friends, or you're doing it for yourself and you don't really care whose team you're on. So if it's about making superficial friendships, so somebody could say, oh yeah, you need Ed on your team because he's really good in the music round, but you don't know anybody else, but you have a nice time because you answer all the music questions right. So you feel, oh, well done me, and you feel like a sense of achievement and you've done something good or something and you've helped a team win.
You sound incredibly patronising right now.
But you haven't made any new friends. But maybe you don't care about that because you've got enough friends that you have got things in common with that would make a hopeless quiz team. Then it's a great hobby. But otherwise, I think it's a bit rubbish. Sorry, Lucy.
Well, I'm definitely not going back to Lucy's quiz, just because it's an hour and a half away.
Well, and also you're probably driving to the pond the next time.
Yeah. Ed Byrne Needs a Hobby was presented by me, Ed Byrne. Obviously. The music was by Clementine Arnold, and it was produced by Laura Grimshaw.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.